A Jewish Journal article. The heat is on. On a Tuesday afternoon in mid-June, 2022, two El Monte Police Department officers, Michael Paredes, 42, and Joseph Santana, 31, responded to a report of a stabbing during a domestic violence dispute. On arriving at the scene, they were ambushed and fatally shot by Justin Flores, 35. Flores was a multiple offender, and known to local law enforcement, but critics say he was free to walk the streets due to the soft-on-crime policies of Los Angeles District Attorney George Gascon, D., himself a former Los Angeles police officer. Opposition to Gascon's policies has led to two failed recall campaigns, one of which is being challenged in court. Claims of retaliation by critics within the district attorney's office. Over a dozen lawsuits. $2.5 million paid in settlements to two claimants so far against the district attorney's office. And an increasingly searing, incipient challenge. Critics are already gearing up to challenge Gascon in next year's election. At this point, his future is uncertain. Gascon was elected district attorney in November 2020 after vowing to take on the machine of mass incarceration. As laid out in an enthusiastic Guardian article shortly after, Gascon announced he would stop seeking the death penalty, cease prosecuting juveniles as adults, end the practice of applying gang enhancements, additional charges applied to individuals alleged to be gang members, and stated his office would no longer file three strikes charges, which require life sentences for people with prior convictions for serious or violent offenses. Gascon said such 1990s-era, tough-on-crime measures had led to an exponential increase in the prison population, disproportionately affected Black and Latino communities and torn families apart, without improving public safety. A year after Gascon took office, in December 2021, Laced reported that the number of gang and gun enhancement allegations filed by the district attorney's office had declined 99% and 63%, respectively, from January to June 2021, his first year in office, compared to the previous 9 years. This has resulted in significantly reduced prison sentences. Many deputy district attorneys who have been critical of Gascon have refused to enforce policies that, in their view, are illegal and unethical. The district attorney is now facing a total of 16 lawsuits from deputy district attorneys alleging that his office engaged in workplace retaliation by demoting them after they spoke out or refused to enforce his policies. On March 7, a jury concluded that the district attorney engaged in retaliatory behavior against deputy district attorney Sean Randolph, a 30-year prosecutor, per the Los Angeles Times. Randolph alleged that because she felt that Gascon's directive on juveniles was illegal and unethical, Gascon transferred her from being head of the juvenile division to the parole division. At the time, Randolph was prosecuting a 17-year-old male who allegedly killed his sister and girlfriend and then burned down an apartment in an attempt to destroy the evidence. Beth Cohea, one of Randolph's attorneys, told CBS Los Angeles that the transfer to the parole division was a dead-end career move. Gascon's office argued in court that the move was not retaliatory but part of an overall series of changes the district attorney began when he took the job. But a jury determined that Gascon owes Randolph $1.5 million in damages and emotional distress. Prior to the Randolph case, the district attorney's office handed over $1 million in a settlement agreement to since-retired prosecutor Richard Doyle, who similarly alleged workplace retaliation, putting the total cost to taxpayers from these lawsuits thus far at $2.5 million. Deputy District Attorney Eric Siddle told the Journal that there have likely been millions more spent to pay lawyers' fees. Another notable lawsuit against Gascon was filed in February by John Lewin, a decorated prosecutor who headed the cold case unit of the Major Crimes Division for 20 years. Lewin was able to successfully prosecute real estate scion Robert Durst in 2021 for murdering his best friend Susan Berman in 2003. Later in 2021, Lewin was given the Ken Lam Distinguished Achievement Award from the DA's office. Lewin tried to distance himself from Gascon, however, not wanting to be seen as endorsing what he considered the district attorney's illegal policies. Lewin made clear to his staff and to Gascon that he would not be enforcing the district attorney's initial directives on prior strikes and sentencing enhancements. In September, Lewin was informed that he would be transferred to Calendar Deputy in the Inglewood Area Office the following month. According to the lawsuit, Lewin's superiors were not made aware of the transfer beforehand, nor were they consulted. Gascon has said my transfer is completely routine, Lewin told the Journal. The entire office knows it isn't. We're going to go to court. A jury's going to find that it was a retaliatory transfer and he's going to be held accountable for what he's done. Siddle told the journal Lewin's transfer was another example of clear retaliation, saying, Lewin was using his First Amendment rights to criticize the administration. He has a level of expertise to be able to do so. Either it's a major coincidence or it's real retaliation. A spokesperson from the district attorney's office denied Lewin's claims that Gaskin retaliated against him, suggesting to the Daily Mail in November it was a routine personnel transfer. Other allegations of workplace retaliation have yet to result in a lawsuit. Deputy District Attorney Shay Sanna was suspended on February 22 for 5 days for misgendering and dead-naming Hannah Tubbs, a transgender 26-year-old who was convicted of sexually assaulting a 10-year-old girl in a Denny's restroom. Because Tubbs was 17 at the time, the convict was sent to a female juvenile detention facility. The Los Angeles Daily News reported that Sanna was accused of using incorrect pronouns when referring to Tubbs in a strategy meeting in an email, where Sanna suggested he believed Tubbs was identifying as a transgender woman in order to receive a more favorable detainment facility. Bolstering Sanna's suspicions, recordings of Tubbs' phone conversations from jail obtained by Fox News revealed that in conversations between Tubbs and the inmate's father, they agreed that Tubbs would be called Hannah and use feminine pronouns as a means of alleviating Tubbs' housing problem. Siddle questioned whether Sanna's misgendering of Tubbs was truly the reason for his suspension, or is it because Shay went on Fox News and a bunch of news outlets like the LA Times and criticized the administration for this particular case and the administration's actions on this case? It seems more, again, like we're talking about political retaliation. Siddle told the journal that Sanna was rightfully concerned about Tubbs because putting a person like this who's been charged with sexual assault against women and young girls in a female facility is extremely dangerous. After the Tubbs controversy arose, Gaskin modified his policies surrounding juvenile offenders, acknowledging that the Tubbs sentence was not adequate. If we knew about her disregard for the harm she caused, we would have handled this case differently, Gaskin said in a February 2022 statement, using Tubbs' preferred pronouns. He announced new policies to create a different pathway for outlier cases while simultaneously creating protections to prevent these exceptions from becoming the rule. The district attorney's office has since created a committee that approves prosecutors' requests for a juvenile to be tried in adult court. Sanna called the committee a political stunt to the journal, arguing that the people on the committee opposed his efforts to try Tubbs as an adult. Per the midterm report, the committee has referred 3 cases to adult court, and according to Tiffany Blacknell, spokeswoman for the district attorney office, in only 1 case did the court deny their request to try the defendant in adult court. For his part, Sanna told the journal that while appealing his suspension, he is walking on eggshells at work, fearing the suspension could be the first step toward the district attorney's office building a case to fire him. The clutch of lawsuits filed against the district attorney's office includes one by Janine Paredes, one of the 2 widows of the El Monte police officers slain last June by Justin Flores. Paredes filed a $25 million claim in November against Gaskin, Los Angeles County, and other entities, arguing that the district attorney's lax approach to incarceration allowed a man who should have been in prison to remain free, leading to the death of her husband. Paredes pointed to information that emerged after the shooting, which showed that Flores, despite having a lengthy criminal record, was given a plea deal last year that allowed him to avoid prison time for being in possession of a handgun. As a result of the plea, Flores was only ordered to spend 20 days in jail and placed on 2 years probation. Deputy District Attorney Jonathan Hatami told Fox 11 Los Angeles that Flores should have been sentenced to nearly 3 years. Similarly, former Deputy District Attorney Elon Carr told the journal that because Flores violated his probation, he should have been in jail for a year, 2 years, and he was out immediately. It's a disgrace. In remarks to the journal, former Los Angeles District Attorney Steve Cooley denounced the fact that Flores was out when he should have been in. Ellipsis. And this is not an uncommon phenomenon. Gaskin has defended his actions, arguing that Flores was a drug addict with no history of violence, very little contact with the criminal justice system for nearly 10 years. His office expressed sympathy for Ms. Paredes, issuing a statement that while they could not comment on her lawsuit, our hearts go out to the family of Sergeant Paredes. His tragic murder is a devastating loss to both his family, friends, and the community he bravely served. Gaskin's approach for cases involving guns has also come in for criticism. Under a tough 1997 California law, prosecutors may seek an additional 10 or 20 years in prison or a life sentence if a gun was used in the course of committing a crime, if the gun was fired, or if it caused serious injury or death. Under Gaskin's original directive, prosecutors couldn't make gun allegations. In an interview with the Journal, Lewin illustrated the impact of Gaskin's change by providing two hypothetical scenarios. In the first, a group of armed gang members robs a 7-Eleven store and one of the members fires a gun at the clerk. The shooter has 10 prior felony convictions and is on parole for murder. In the second, a man with no prior criminal record and no gang affiliation enters the 7-Eleven alone and commits a robbery by putting his finger in his pocket and pretending that he has a gun. Under Gaskin's original policies, those two defendants would be treated exactly the same, Lewin said. You cannot file a gang enhancement. You can't file the gun enhancement. You can't file the fact that he fired the gun. You can't file the fact that he has prior strikes. Another Gaskin policy prosecutors widely criticized was the initial ban on prior strikes, meaning prior violent or serious felony convictions. This directive was later modified, but according to former Deputy District Attorney Carr in remarks to the Journal, there's still institutional pressure on prosecutors to dismiss prior strikes as part of sweetheart plea deals. He further states that many enhancement allegations are not approved. Sana concurred, telling the Journal that sometimes prior strike allegations get approved, but we have to ask permission and it's very rare. He reported that district attorneys are afraid to ask too many times, and that the deputies above them don't want to approve too many because they'll get retaliated against. Blacknell told the Journal that the district attorney's policy for nearly 2 years has been to allege strikes when applicable while the directive waits before the state Supreme Court. Two lower courts have stricken down the policy, and that the office has significantly reduced the number of sentencing enhancements, but regularly approves enhancements when the safety of the community is served by adding them. She added that the office has filed thousands of enhancements over the past couple years. Regarding gang crime, Blacknell said that the office has increased our presence in communities that are most harmed by this type of community violence by sending district attorney investigators to assist law enforcement in their investigation, and that we want to continue to enforce the law, but we will also partner with the community to support efforts at violence prevention and community education. When asked by the Journal about allegations that there's pressure to dismiss strikes, the district attorney's office responded, "Prosecutors have a duty to abide by the law and ensure that each person accused of a criminal offense is afforded due process throughout the criminal legal process. This includes setting bail and in many cases dispositions by way of plea. Each case is reviewed on an individualized basis and guided by office policy." The spokesperson then reiterated the office's policy on prior strikes. In Siddle's view, the district attorney's office is complying with the court order on strikes, but he told the Journal that they only started making exceptions for enhancements after facing political pressure. Finally, Gaskin has been widely criticized for a directive that initially prevented juveniles from being prosecuted as adults. The directive appropriately noted young people's unique vulnerabilities, such as impulsivity, susceptibility to peer influences, risk-taking, and lesser ability to fully appreciate long-term consequences. However, critics say the new policy proved to be readily open to abuse. Carr told the Journal about a case in which he prosecuted an individual who, a few months before his 18th birthday, shot and killed a man in the street. Under George Gaskin and the new directive, not only would he be out now, Carr said, but he would have been out months after he had done that because he couldn't have been prosecuted as an adult. He stated that those tried as a juvenile can't really be punished. It's not even called a criminal conviction. It's called a juvenile petition against a minor. And when a juvenile walks, they walk with a clean record. Gaskin's office defends the above policies, including those regarding sentencing enhancements, despite slightly modifying them in a few instances. Excessive sentences have not been shown to enhance public safety, although research has shown that excessive sentences increase the likelihood of reoffending and lead to future victimization, they state in a 2023 midterm report. The report touts their support to tens of thousands of victims while claiming to have held people who caused real harm accountable. They further note that the district attorney has exonerated the wrongfully convicted. The district attorney's office denies claims that its progressive policies are responsible for rising crime. LAPD statistics showed that, between 2020 and 2022, homicides increased 14.6% to 329 victims. Robberies increased 16% to 7,716 victims. Aggravated assaults increased 10.7% to 17,010 and burglary increased 5.1% to 11,961. Over the same period, arrests declined 10%. Gaskin has denied any correlation between these crimes and his policies, arguing during a June 2022 town hall that the rise in crimes in various cities nationally is the result of many of the bad policies that overcriminalize communities without really looking for a path forward to create the reduction of crime, the prevention of crime. Deputy District Attorney Hatami acknowledged in an interview with the Journal that Gaskin isn't entirely to blame for the rise in crime. There are myriad factors involved, he said, including the pandemic, but argued that Gaskin's policies share plenty of the blame. I think there's no question that the pandemic played a part in rising crime. Hatami said, but there's also no question that George Gaskin's zero bail policies, for misdemeanors, non-serious felonies and non-violent felonies, George Gaskin's statements, were interpreted as, you're not going to be held accountable. Blacknell told the Journal that their current bail policy is in line with a 2021 state Supreme Court ruling that courts must consider all other options to cash bail as well as the defendant's ability to pay and that their policy has always left room for the interest of safety. In fact, we have begun asking the court to preventatively detain those who we believe cannot be released safely. This means that no matter their access to wealth, we've asked that they be held in custody pending the outcome of their case. Carr and Hatami alleged to the Journal that there is pressure on prosecutors to let defendants walk on zero or low bail, although Hatami acknowledged that it hasn't happened to him personally. When asked about such allegations of pressure, a spokesperson from the district attorney's office reiterated the office's bail policy to the Journal and added that each case is viewed individually and that prosecutors have to follow the law. Meanwhile, efforts continue to remove Gaskin from office, much of it coming from within the district attorney's office. In February 2022, the Los Angeles Association of Deputy District Attorneys announced that a staggering 97.9% of their members voted to recall Gaskin. Gaskin has referred to the recall as being Republican-led and warned that it would reverse all our progress. Two recall attempts have failed, but the second campaign still has a belated chance at success. This story dates to August 2022. When Gaskin narrowly survived the second push for a recall petition, even though more than 715,000 signatures were provided supporting such a vote. The California County's Registrar Recorder, Dean Logan, announced that enough of these signatures were invalid for the recall effort to fall just short of the minimum needed to move forward with the recall. The campaign to recall Gaskin has gone to court over the matter, challenging Logan's invalidation of these nearly 200,000 signatures. The case remains ongoing. In a March 23 statement, the campaign blasted the county registrar's office for calling for a state investigation into fraudulent signatures allegedly submitted by the recall campaign, calling it an attempt at stonewalling. This is nothing more than a last-ditch effort by Dean Logan to cover up the improper disqualification of thousands of valid signatures, which we ultimately intend to expose and challenge in court once the review is complete, the recall DA George Gaskin committee said. If anything warrants investigation by authorities, it is the registrar's own egregious misconduct and disenfranchisement of Los Angeles County voters who are suffering under George Gaskin. A spokesperson from the county registrar's office told the Journal that the recall Gaskin's press release was full of innuendo and unsubstantiated, unqualified allegations. Our office has been and will continue to facilitate the recall proponent's opportunity to review the petition review as provided by law. All this suggests an uncertain future for Gaskin. Two of his employees, Hatami and Deputy District Attorney John McKinney, have announced their candidacies to challenge Gaskin when his term expires in 2024. Nathan Hochman, R., a former U.S. Assistant Attorney General who ran unsuccessfully against Democratic California Attorney General Rob Bonta in 2022, has also thrown his hat in the ring. He has been endorsed by former District Attorney Steve Cooley, one of the leading figures behind the recall campaign. Hochman, who last ran as a Republican against Bonta, is running for district attorney as an independent. The controversy over Gaskin is part of a nationwide debate over the criminal justice system. Both sides agree that the criminal justice system is deeply flawed, but disagree about the nature of the core issues. On one side are reformers, who see the potential for the justice system to be a tool for increasing social justice agendas. These individuals will say that the core issues of the system as it stands are mass incarceration and a lack of racial equity. On the other side are tough on crime prosecutors, who think that soft policies create dangerous American cities by shuffling repeat offenders and violent criminals back onto the streets. And a great many critics fall somewhere in the middle. Speaking about his re-election campaign in 2024, Gaskin told Spectrum in March 2023, I think the public should have the opportunity to look at my work. I stand on my record, look at others, see what they have to offer, and at the end of the day, people will decide. All deputy district attorneys quoted here spoke to the journal on their own time and expressed their personal opinions that do not reflect those of the district attorney's office as a whole.